You're listening to Sin 90.7 FM. My name is Beck Martin, and I am joined by the lovely Mark and Jordan from funk synth duo Neil Francis. Hey, how are you going today?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. We are chatting over Zoom as the boys are in Austin. We are over in Melbourne here, obviously. So a bit of a time difference. So really appreciate them jumping on the show to chat about their latest single, Head Straight, which is this funk-infused high-energy number. Congratulations on the release, fellas. How are you feeling?
Feel great.
Yeah, feeling really good.
Yeah.
We met Danny a few months ago. We had their bass player come and do lights for us. And
Danny St. Panther, Danny.
Danny, yeah, Danny
yep, yep, yep.
And through like a weird mutual connection, we were able to finally like link up. And yeah, really great working with Danny. We've got another single on the way actually that features them as well.
She left you on red, didn't she?
They did, yes, they did. I reached out in like 2019. I was like, hey, I'm a huge fan. Like, would love to link up. And just like sat there on red for a while. And it's kind of a laugh now. I took a screenshot when you put the song out. I'm like, do you remember this? I took a screenshot and sent it to Danny. And she was like, oh my God, I'm such a diva.
Redemption on this song. Yeah, I think that's what that is. Yeah. So yeah, in terms of vocals though, Mark, you've kind of taken a back seat on this track because you've enlisted the incredible St. Panther, as you've just said. Has having feature artists on your tracks been a long-term goal of yours? Because I haven't seen too much of that in your past discography.
Yeah, it's funny. It was actually our initial intention with this project, Neil Francis. When we first started writing music, we thought we were writing songs for other people to sing. Because I don't know, for whatever reason, Jordan and I didn't think that we were capable of putting out our own music or something.
Right.
So it's kind of come around full circle now, where now people actually want to work with us, which is nice. And you know, Danny, they're just such a talent. I mean, like it's inspiring to work with people that it's nice to be in the studio with really talented musicians. And Danny's one of those people where like every single word that comes out of their mouth just sounds incredible.
You know, yeah.
Just has that voice, you know, and artistry. So
yeah, they're like in between sort of, it's almost, I mean, it's basically like they're rapping during that first portion of the song.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, for me personally, I'm a huge fan of like that 90s and early 2000s rap. And there was always like the quintessential song where the rapper would rap and then they'd have the R&B chick do the hook, you know? And it's like, I'm kind of treating Mark as that on that song. So Danny comes in and does this like sort of rap for the first sort of portion. Then Mark comes in and does the sort of hook.
I'm in there. It's like, you know, tucked back in a deep layer.
pocketed away. Well, I'm thinking back because this track, it is so sonically different from where you started out. I've been a follower of yours since 2017 when you were releasing tracks like Dumb Love and Ask Me Anything, Show Me the Right. I love all of that music, but there's just such a difference in sound and the sonic shift that Head Straight represents is so massive. How has it been, you know, as the creators of this track and how has the, you know, journey that you've been on, like this seems like a really natural progression, was it? Or was it really conscious that you were like, nah, this is going to be Funky Town?
I mean, that's a good question. It's funny, like our managers back in the day doing what managers do, they're like, you know, can you guys write another Dumb Love? And we literally tried like a handful of times. Like we would do the same structure and have our bass player come in and do the bass line and like whatever. But it just felt like we were kind of repeating ourselves, and it never really, like, Dumb Love was a fluke. It was like a demo on his computer that he had with the bass player in our band. He's also a really good musician. And then I took it and turned it into a beat, and then we did the vocals and whatever. So it's like, I don't know. It's an interesting way to keep things moving forward, I think, for us creatively. And it's funny with that song in particular, out of all the songs that you've put together for this upcoming body of work, that one was so fast. It was like a beat I made. Danny came in, did the first little portion. Then we had one more session. Mark did the hook. And then it was sort of in amongst the demos that we shared with our team. And everyone was like, this is definitely one of the strongest songs. And it probably took us 15, 20 minutes. Like, it's just, wow. So I don't know. But we try not to think about it too much, because often that'll lead to paralysis, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That was going to be one of my questions as well, about how you as a duo come to make tracks together, because I feel like with a lot of bands, it's usually like 3 to 5 people bands, it's usually like there's one person that will come with the tracks. But for a duo, is it pretty evenly split for you?
No, it's
absolutely not.
I'd love to claim that it's 50-50. I think Jordan, it's funny, early on we decided, it sounds like, I mean, we actually did make collective decision. Yeah, yeah. Jordan's really like team captain. Jordan kind of, I would say, uses me more as a tool than, you know, a collaborator. Doesn't really respect my opinion on many things. Yeah. So, you know, it's no, I'm kidding. I mean, it's been nice for us to kind of like have this hierarchy set up, because I'm the type of person that can't, doesn't ever want to release anything, like no matter how long I've been working on it or how polished or whatever it is. So I'd say it's more 60-40. I think Jordan puts in a lot more of like, you know, creative time.
But I mean, to go there, it's the process in and of itself at this point, like we don't fight it. It's kind of how we organically sort of fell into this thing, gaining this Neil Francis thing, kind of gaining, momentum. To this point, it's worked really well. And I just love to like sit in the studio sometimes by myself and write a whole handful of beats, and then I'll play them for Mark and like first take, best take, and he'll just like, you know, do a ghost vocal, and he'll like, oh, turn the synth on over here, and he'll give me like the sugar on top and the little bits and pieces, and then from there it's kind of you mold something out of it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's just got to do what they're best at, you know, and he's good for the sugar on top.
That said, there are a couple songs here and there where I put in
100%, 100%, yeah,
maybe more of the work, but he's a hard worker.
The big boss, yeah.
The final boss.
So Neil Francis, as I kind of led on earlier in our chat, is so sonically ambiguous as well. And I feel like it's quite hard to pin down in the best way possible. You know, you read online and you're kind of branded as alternative pop, and I just don't think that does you justice in any regard. Do you feel like you struggle to describe your own sound, and how would you describe it if you had met someone brand new and they were like, oh, what kind of music do you make? What would you say?
Mark just says like, what do you say?
Always just say pop music.
Right. Okay.
Just because if I really tried to describe it and I said it was like, oh, it's a little bit like experimental, alternative.
You're there for days,
R&B here and there. Then I feel like, I don't want to get people's hopes up, and they're like, oh, I thought you said you were an experimental, you know, indie, like psych something, and then they look it up and like, this sounds like,
yeah, certain songs don't sound anything like that, you know. It's like kind of all over the place.
So I just say pop, and it's funny because our you know, like we kind of mentioned earlier, our whole goal with this project was to write pop music, and I think that's kind of always been the intention, but we just landed wherever we're at, you know.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I feel like recently I've been listening to a lot of Cleo Soul. Do you know her? The bass line in a lot of her tracks was very reminiscent of the music that you're making, so I definitely understand that you're taking notes from like R&B and soul, because like for people that really, really enjoy music and really enjoy your music, they can hear it. So that's awesome.
It's funny that you say that, because the producer who does the Cleo Soul stuff and the Salt stuff in Flow, in terms of like current producers and writers, he's a huge influence. Like I listened to that whole Little Sims record when it came out, and like,
yeah,
so expansive. And then it had dropped. Literally, it's funny. Head Straight was very much influenced by a few songs I heard on that Little Sims record, because there'd be these big moments of a breakdown and then it just dropped back into drums and the bass line. And it's just like so functional and so cool. And he's not trying too hard. And like Little Sims isn't trying too hard to do the thing over the top. It's just like, just
works. And it's like a few sparse amount of elements, you know, it's like four instruments total on the track. You know,
that's so true. Yeah. Yeah, it's like simplicity, but I guess, I mean, particularly with Cleo Soul, you know, you have those sweeping strings come through and it just like ties everything together, which similarly you do that with like the feature artist, St. Panther, that you've enlisted on this track, kind of ties everything together and it's just like layers of synth. It's really beautiful. I was going to ask you about your influences, but you've just said some of them just there. But I want to talk about more of your formative inspiration and influences for the project. Who would they be?
I mean, I guess it's funny that we were kind of talking about the progression of where we started. So I think we definitely started in more of that, maybe, I don't know, traditional indie space. And we were very much in the world of like, we were both big fans of Tame Impala and Unknown Mortal Orchestra and Conan Moccasin and that kind of, it's like sort of pop, that like murky pop indie thing, you know? So in terms of like modern influences, you know, that sort of stuff. And I think for me personally, I don't know, like yeah, 90s rap music, the production aesthetic of like 90s rap music, the structure of 90s rap music where it's like pretty blocky. There isn't a bunch of like changes and stuff. It's like you get the best bit from the start and that's the rest of the 3 minutes of the song, you know, and the artist comes in and does the rest. So I think that element, I think on the dance music side, it's an obvious one, but Daft Punk for me personally is a huge touch point. I had a dance project before Neil Francis, and I when I first got into production, I read this article on Daft Punk, and they were like, I kind of skimmed through the article, and all that sort of resonated with me was that they used Moog synthesizers. So I saved up all this money to buy a Moog, which I actually still have to this day. I still tour with it, and
we use in nearly every song.
Every song now. And Voyager. I would chase and inevitably always fall short of like their sounds and what they would do. But that was like, I think for the first 3 or 4 years of me learning how to produce, that was like, can I make a song that sounds like this random deep cut off of homework, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I can hear that the Daft Punk influence, but obviously it's synth laden tracks that you're making. So that makes sense. Question for both of you. So you're on a desert island and you can only take one record with you. What are you going to take?
Just because they're top of the mind right now, I'd take Homework by Daft Punk.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, yep. What about you?
Oh, man. I guess I'm a huge Unknown Mortal Orchestra fan, so I guess like the Roman numeral 2 album. The second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... First album. Like,
perfect album.
First album he did as well. The drums on that album are so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
love it. I love it so much. Now, creating electronic music and kind of dance music, when you perform it live, obviously you have to translate it to a live setting. Do you find that difficult at all, facilitating that, or is it easy when you have a band that you've kind of had with you since the beginning?
I think it was challenging at first. We decided early on that we didn't want to have any computers on stage, and so we were going to make an effort to find a way to play everything live. And just kind of understanding that, you know, there was going to be a live version versus a studio version, and like wrapping our heads around how to perform things live and maybe allow for like different sections to be longer or louder was challenging at first. But now I mean, it's a really enjoyable process for me. I'd love anytime we write a song these days in the studio, I'm already thinking about how we're going to do it live. So I feel like that's just kind of like been ingrained into me, and now my you know, creative live, you know, production juices are just flowing, and I already have a pretty good idea before we like bring the guys in and we rehearse something. And so yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, I love going through that process and trying to emulate, you know, the song from the record and find a more exciting way to do it.
And then this year as well, we also developed a two-man show where it's just Mark and I, and that's kind of been just as much fun incorporating like drum machines. We use CDJs, but like not in a traditional DJ sense. Oh, we do at times, but like not really in a traditional DJ sense. And for me, it's been like, it's really, really fun doing that show as well. And then as Mark said, when you go back and as we're making the songs for this new record, I'm immediately thinking, separating out all the parts and what would go where and who would play what. It's fun.
Yeah, sick. I love that so much. And I guess it helps that you have been kind of kicking around in the music space for so long together. So you kind of understand how each other work on stage and off stage. You released your debut album last year, which is also this epic 14-track body of work. So congratulations on that. I love it so much. What is next for Neil Francis? You said you kind of hinted at an upcoming body of work a little bit earlier.
Cool. Well, I don't know if you do the thing and you pretend that you don't want to say the thing. Or should I don't know. We have an album coming out in September.
Nice.
So we're doing a tour around the album in October. And yeah, I'm really excited for that one. As you said, like as we've talked about, it's a sonic progression, I think, in a good way from what that first record was. And we kind of went into it with the idea of the majority of that first record was just Mark and I with like a couple of collaborations. And then we had this idea, like, why don't we reach out to a bunch of artists that we're fans of and see if they even want to work with us in the first place. And the cool thing was that a lot of these artists are down to, and it also kind of allows you to then do more sonically, because certain artists can do things that, you know, I can't or that Mark can't, that allows you to kind of do something different from that first sort of first pass of that first record.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of shows, you are coming down sort of this way, so not quite to Australia, but you're heading over to New Zealand for Snow Machine.
There is half a chance we'll come to Australia. There's half a chance. We're talking about trying to get to Melbourne and get to Sydney if we can.
Sick. All right. Well, fingers and toes crossed. If anyone wants to keep up to date with your potential comings to Australia, where can they go?
Website, Instagram. We'll post about it. Hopefully we can post about that soon.
All right. Sick. Well, congratulations again on the release of Head Straight. It's an amazing single. We're going to play it right now. Thank you so much, Jordan and Mark from Neil Francis, who have been Zooming in all the way from Austin. It's been so amazing getting to chat with you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Don't forget, Head Straight by Neil Francis is out now on all your major streaming services. Show the band some love. Going to play it right now. This is Neil Francis with Head Straight, and you're listening to Sin 90.7 FM.